From ruin to restoration, that is the story of Ruth. We have thus far seen chapter one, in which Naomi and Ruth, after suffering heartache and loss, are going back to Bethlehem from Moab around the Dead Sea, the journey of 50 miles along the King's Highway. And we are finding, picking up the pieces of ruin, being back on the path to restoration. In verses 1 through 13, it's all about finding favor. Previously, Naomi had said, "I went away full, but I came back empty." And God is going to begin the process of restoring her and refilling her cup of blessing, so to speak. We're going to take the reading of God's word up in verse number 1, read through verse number 3. Ultimately, we'll read through verse 13, but for time's sake, just the first three verses. So follow along if you are able. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. I want you to see God is at work in chapter 2. It seemed like he skipped out on chapter 1, if we're honest. It seemed like God was void. But in chapter 2, you see the details that God is orchestrating. These details are rising to the top. They're becoming more clear. And the first 13 verses are all about finding favor. Finding favor. So let me define favor before we go any further. It's an act of grace or an act of kindness. The Authorized Version of the Bible typically translated favor as grace. It's not the same Hebrew word, so I find fault in that, but it's more the act of grace or the act of kindness. It's showing mercy or compassion. And what is so enamoring to me about finding favor? There's the giver of the favor. There is the recipient, and then there is the nature of the gift. And I want to show you all three of those elements of finding favor today. So, point number one, I want you to see finding favor in circumstances. Finding favor in circumstances. Now, Naomi and Ruth are in Bethlehem, which in Hebrew means the house of bread. It's the beginning of the barley harvest. That's the first harvest of the season. All other harvests follow after the barley harvest. They're there at just the right time to find favor. And I don't know if you know this, we have to eat to survive. I don't know if we've ever been that destitute in our personal lives. We think, "I'm about to die of starvation." If we miss one meal, what do we say? "I'm starving. If I don't eat something, I'm going to die." No, they were really in that situation, Naomi and Ruth. And Ruth said, "I'm about to go to work in the fields." She says, "Perhaps I'll find favor." That's what she says. Those are her words. Now, there is a biblical principle for taking care of the poor and the disenfranchised or the destitute. It is not give them money, although you can give to the needy. Christ has not forbid that in the New Testament. So what should we give them? Opportunities. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 through 10, when God instituted the law for Israel, he gave them the statute concerning the poor and the disenfranchised. Verses 9 and 10 of that chapter, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest, and you shall not strip your vineyard bare, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. Ruth is showing her initiative in taking care of Naomi. Not just herself. She says, I'm going to take care of you. Now, notice what Naomi says. She says, go your way, my daughter. She doesn't say daughter-in-law. That was chapter 1. In chapter 2, she says, you're my daughter. Huge step. Ruth has a lot of reasons. Naomi has a lot of reasons to give up. Or in today's society, we would say they can play the victim card. We would say it's okay if they stood up on the street corner and had a sign, please help. We're used to seeing that. Just a few days ago, I saw a man at an intersection, and he said, I'm not going to lie, holding a sign. I just want smokes and beer. I appreciate the honesty, but you get neither. God says we give opportunities, not money. Well, my family and I were on vacation in Durango, Colorado. I saw a man, he was sitting on the street corner, propped his sign up on his shoulder, and it said, I need $10 for a gym membership. I said, don't we all, buddy? He wasn't even standing, yeah. If anyone could have been begging, it was Naomi. It was Ruth. But Ruth says, I'm going to the fields to find favor. One of the best known personalities on the show Shark Tank is Mark Cuban, who's also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Researched who he is, what he has done. He's got a very strong personality. But I didn't know his family were immigrants from Russia. They changed their last name to not sound Russian. He grew up very poor. In fact, he had to work at an early age to support the family. He was raised in Pennsylvania, and he started working at the age of 12, selling garbage bags door to door so he could buy sneakers. This showed his attitude, and he then went on to university and graduated with a bachelor's in business administration. He got into the computer field. He then became a consultant. He started selling software. He eventually formed his business, Micro Solutions. He sold that for the meager amount of $6 million. I mean, what's $6 million? He then started a business with a partner called AudioNet, which became Broadcast.com in 95, which they sold to Yahoo for just $6 billion. What are the odds? He bought the Dallas Mavericks for a meager amount, sold it for a large sum just recently. In reading about Cuban's business philosophy and how he did stuff, he worked. It wasn't given to him. We talk about his success and all the stories and business articles about him. Talk about he sold it for $6 million, $6 billion. Look at this business. But he went through a lot of hardships. He had a problem paying bills when he was out on his own. He didn't have lights because he couldn't pay his electricity bill. And he said that was the inspiration to change his life. And he never looked back. Let me just leave you with two quotes from Mark Cuban. He says a lot of stuff, and we're going to avoid that, but just two quotes that are worthwhile. It's not in the dreaming, it's in the doing. He also says this, push yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. It's initiative. Finding favor in circumstances. Ruth, it says three words, the three verbs concerning what she did. It said she set out, she went, and she gleaned. She began the process of harvest in the fields. And she was honored by God's law and standards. God approved of this. Ruth found favor in her circumstances. Let me give you a New Testament passage to support this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul speaking to the church of Thessalonica about he and Silas. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Ruth is finding favor in her circumstances. Back in chapter 2, let's go to verse number 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." And then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." And then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now, listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you're thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Not only do we see finding favor in circumstances, number two, we see finding favor with others. We see finding favor with others. Guess who has just entered into the story in the book of Ruth? Boaz. He enters in. It says that he is a worthy man. The only other time that I know that word is mentioned is when Gideon is mentioned in the book of Judges, a man of valor. And he is of Elimelech's clan. That means he's in the family, the extended family. And Ruth just so happens to be in the field of Boaz. It's not coincidence. It's providence. It just so happens, the way the story unfolds, this beautiful woman goes to the exact place of Boaz. This is just like a Hallmark Christmas movie. Entering into the story, the two main characters is given the introduction in chapter 2. This is the narrative. Boaz, the hometown boy, voted Bethlehem's most eligible bachelor 5 years in a row. The women in chapter 1 that said, "Is this Naomi?" They're the same ones that say about Boaz, "Oh, he'd make such a good husband. I wish he would settle down. But he's too focused on work. He just needs to find the right woman. Maybe we should set him up with somebody." And the answer to that is no. God is the best matchmaker. We don't need to set people up. See, man, there is the strong character of Boaz. Never settled down for whatever reason. But in verse number 5, Boaz says, "Who is this? Who is that?" Someone sticks out to Boaz. One of these things is not like the other. Something is different today versus the other days. And it's Ruth. What do we know about Ruth? Ruth loves the Lord. She loves her family. She has high character and she has work ethic. Single men listening to this, find yourself a Ruth. And married men, if you got yourself a Ruth, keep her. You're not going to do better. Single ladies, find yourself a Boaz. Why is that, Pastor? Thank you for asking, although you didn't ask. Let me give you four reasons you need to find yourself a man like this. A, he has a personal relationship with the Lord. The way he greets his workers in verse number four. Man, the Lord be with you. That's Yahweh. That's the covenant God of Israel. That's coming from his heart. And they respond to him, the Lord bless you. The best Christian man in Bethlehem. He's got a personal relationship. His standard for life, his standard for work is focused on the Lord. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to the edge, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord, your God. He has a personal relationship with the Lord. B, he is polite. He treats Ruth respectfully. He says, my daughter, and that's, we do believe he is older than she is, but it's not a term of deferment. It's a term of care and respect. He treats her politely. He treats his men, his servants, politely. And by the way, some of his servants, he didn't say servant. He says to my young man. There's a level of respect evident within his life. See, not only is he polite, he's providing. Boaz told Ruth, you can work in my fields. Not only that, my men are going to take care of you. That's giving a favor. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 through 22. And when you reap your harvest in your field and you forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to go get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. I command you to provide for others. Give them the opportunity. And not only that, point D of why Boaz is a great catch, he's protective. He told Ruth, stay in my fields. This is where I'm in charge. I told my guys to take care of you. Stay with my young ladies. The men have their orders from Boaz himself. You take care of her. Finding favor with others. Back in Ruth chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me? Since I'm a foreigner. But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and native land and came to a people that you do not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done. and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants. The third way we see favor is finding favor with God. As Ruth and Boaz interact, they dialogue, we see the God, the details of God, rising to the top and becoming more clear. Ruth shows respect to Boaz and says, even though I'm a foreigner. And Boaz stops her and he says, I've heard your testimony, Ruth. Naomi became your family. You left your mother, your father, all that in Moab. Israel is now your people. And Yahweh, the Lord, is now your God. Boaz looks deeply into the beauty of Ruth and sees the Spirit of God, in which he says, may the Lord repay, meaning bless. May the Lord repay you for your faith. He then gives us the ultimate truth of this text about finding favor. He says, it is God, the Lord our God, who cares for you and gives refuge to you. Although I give you favor, it's the God of Israel who gives ultimate favor. Psalm 84, verses 11 through 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. When Boaz sees the beauty of Ruth, he sees the Spirit of God. But when Ruth looks at Boaz, she looks to him and sees the blessing of the Lord in grace and mercy. She said, if I have found favor in your eyes, Boaz gives his favor to Ruth above and beyond what the law requires. Now, law says, give them opportunity. Let them do that. Boaz says, girl, I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to give you favor, almost to the extent I've got to translate that grace. The law says I give you this. I'm going to give you protection. The law says give them opportunity, give them the choice. He says, I'm going to do so much more than the law. I'm going to give you grace. Although the law does not require it, based upon who I am, I'm going to give it to you. When Ruth looks at Boaz, she sees the blessing of the Lord in grace and mercy. When we read the book of Ruth, we don't just see Ruth and Boaz, we see ourselves. And that phrase, finding favor. The frequency happens more in chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, than anywhere else in Scripture. And when we read the book of Ruth, we see ourselves that we have found favor in circumstances, we have found favor with others, but ultimately, the ultimate truth that we find refuge in God and we find favor in Him. Let me ask you, have you found favor with God? Have you received the favor of God found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received the free gift of salvation he so freely gives you because it's above what the law requires? The law says that we have sinned and fallen short. The law says we can never right ourselves. But God says, I bestow favor upon those who come after me. Maybe you need to trust in Christ, perhaps for the first time. Maybe there's other steps of the faith that God's Spirit says you need to do this. Take this step of faith and obedience in baptism or membership. Maybe you're not making decisions in those regards, but you're wrestling with this issue of finding favor, finding grace. We find grace, we find favor, acceptance, and mercy, compassion, and pity in no one else but God. Who Boaz said to Ruth, it's under God whose wings he shelters us. And in God, the Lord of hosts, we find refuge. Maybe today your relationship with God has strayed. And perhaps you say, I don't know how I can come back. I've failed. I've fallen short. The Bible says that if we draw near unto God, he will draw near unto us. He re-gives the favor. He is the giver of the gift, and we are the recipients. Perhaps what I've suggested has nothing to do with going on in your personal life. You say, Pastor, in just a moment, I need to pray. Where I'm at my seat, you can pray up front if you want to, but if God's calling you to pray, to renew your relationship, to pray for someone else in need, seek the favor of God. Now, if you need to make a decision or you want to pray with me, I'll be down front. There'll be other leaders that would love to pray with you. And even after the service is over, I'd love to spend time with you and encourage you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word we have in Ruth chapter 2 about finding favor. Father, in circumstances or relationships, may we find favor. May you direct us. But Lord, would we find favor in you? Would you bestow grace and mercy upon us? We thank you that you're not bound by the law, that you do so much more above and beyond what we deserve. May we find ourselves in this text. But Father, for the here and the now, would we respond as your Spirit leads us? For those who have made decisions of faith, may it be public. Father, for those who need to take steps of obedience, whatever it may be. And Father, I pray this house of worship will be turned into a house of prayer, that we would seek you in a day you may be found. Father, bless those who are discouraged. As we see the story of Ruth and Naomi coming back to restoration, may we find ourselves that you have not forsaken us. In fact, Christ has said, I will not leave you as orphans. Father, would you restore our hearts even now? And Father, bless this time, bless our decisions, whether they're public or private. We ask all of these in Jesus' name. Amen.